12. "We're here, Cheery Cheery," Rissen whispered, as several of the sailors set her into her chair on the quarterdeck. "Look, I've brought you home." Cheery Cheery nestled into her arms and barely moved. Rissen held her close as the captain and her brother conversed quietly nearby. "Storms. The island looked so surreal, with that too-still ocean, the distant fog, that strange rock palisade in the waters around it. The island itself was low and flat, except for that part near the center. Were those walls or a natural plateau?" The crew had gathered on deck, mingled with anticipation spren, like red streamers waving in an unfelt wind. Rissen wasn't close enough to hear what they whispered to one another, and she almost tried to pull herself along the rail to get closer. Only a few days with her hovering chair, and already she relied on it. Well, if this place turned out to be an enemy stronghold, they might have to leave quickly. She didn't want to risk the floating chair, so she'd ordered it stowed and had the gemstones in her pocket. Her quarterdeck seat would have to do. So she sat quietly, trying not to feel overwhelmed. They were here, finally. Rissen had brought them here. How would Vestim have proceeded? She didn't know. She had learned his wisdom, but now she simply had to trust her own instincts. That was more frightening to her than it had ever been before. "Captain," she said, calling toward Durlwan. "What do you think? What news from the eel's nest?" The woman strode over. "I have 3 men with spyglasses searching for anything suspicious," the captain said. "No signs of life, though there are definitely structures farther in. Not much wind here, oddly, but we can use oars to maneuver. These waters look treacherous, so we'll want to go slowly. The depths around Aemia often have hidden hazards beneath the surface. Assuming all goes well, we could maneuver through that gap and get in close to the island." She hesitated. "Rebsk, the lookouts report what appear to be gem hearts on the beach, just lying there, discarded among the shells of fallen beasts." "Curious." Rissen took a deep breath. "I authorize a slow approach. Warn me if anything new is spotted, and kindly have someone ask the Radiants and their party to come speak with me." She could see Lopan, Huyo, and Rushu chatting softly with Cord down on the main deck. The captain ordered some of the sailors to man the oars, and soon they were gliding carefully toward the ring of tall rocks that surrounded the island. They reminded her of the obelisks the Deshi nomads set up at their various way stops. Eerily, the only sounds were those of the oars on the water, a stark counterpoint to the raging winds and waters they'd left behind. As they moved, checking depth on both sides of the ship every minute or two, the Radiants and their friends stepped up onto the quarterdeck.
"What do you see, Cord?"
Rissen asked in Vaden. "Luxpren," she said, pointing overhead.
"But they're not approaching the island. There are dozens upon dozens flying around out here. Lopan showed me a shadow of something under the water that he thinks might be what drained Stormlight from the other Radiants. But I saw no Spren. The shadow vanished quickly, but I think he must be Toa, not Leaky. I think you say physical and not mind, of the mind world?"
"Curious," Rissen replied, though she wasn't entirely certain she understood.
"Hi," Lopan said. "You speak, is that?"
"Vaden," Rissen said in Alethi.
"I do."
"I might be able to get the ship through that gap," the captain said, walking over. "How would you like to proceed?"
Rebsk. Take us as close as you dare, Captain, Rissen said.
Jolwan skillfully guided them up to the gap, and after another check of depths, sailed the ship right through the opening. The captain brought them in close enough to the island that Rissen could make out bleached carapace on the shore, the remnants of ancient great shells. Again she held up Chiri Chiri, hoping to get some reaction. Talik had said they should come here. But what now? Chiri Chiri didn't seem interested in the place, though she did look up toward the sky and then stirred, chirping softly. Rissen placed Chiri Chiri carefully in her lap, and the creature didn't move much, but did keep her attention on the sky. Could she sense those invisible spren, perhaps? Kostled stepped up and handed Rissen a spyglass. Through it, she easily made out the carapace husks, as well as large diamond gem hearts lying scattered around. Done, showing no light, they lay as if they'd fallen right where the beasts had died. Something about that struck her as odd.
Orders, Rebsk? The captain asked her.
Orders. It was time to be in charge. She ignored her fluttering heart, her worry for Chiri Chiri.
Radiant the Lopan and Ardent Rushu, I assume you two will want to be on with your secret mission?
The two shared a glance, and were embarrassed enough to draw a few shame spren, like floating flower petals.
Yes, Brightness, Rushu said. We'll want to strike inward, toward those buildings. I suggest letting my men do a quick reconnaissance before you do so, Rissen said. Kostled, take a large contingent of sailors and, leaving non-combatants on the ship for now, secure the beach. Report anything unusual.
He bowed to her, then went to gather the sailors. As the rowboats were lowered, Lopan and Huyo climbed aboard. So did Rushu.
Ardent Rushu? Rissen called after her. I suggest you wait until we're certain the beach is safe. A fine suggestion, Rushu called back. But don't worry about me, Brightness.
And she settled herself on the bench of one of the boats.
Well,
she wasn't technically under Rissen's authority, so she could do as she wished. Cord wisely didn't insist on going. Instead, she knelt beside Rissen's chair, then turned her gaze from Chiri Chiri up toward the sky. Was there a connection between the Luxpren and Chiri Chiri? Sky eels were the only other creature her size that could fly, and they were often accompanied by Luxpren. Chiri Chiri chirped again, an encouraging sign. Rissen gave her a sphere to eat, then glanced over her shoulder toward the storm. The fog obscured much of that, but in clearer patches she could see a sweeping barrier of wind and tempest, like the storm wall of a high storm, only blowing circularly.
We should finish this as quickly as possible, Rissen said to Durlwan, who still stood nearby. Once we're certain the shore is safe, have some of the sailors begin scouting around the perimeter of the island. We can collect any interesting artifacts and give the Radiance time to...
Chiri Chiri thrashed in her lap. Rissen looked down as the creature perked up for the first time in weeks, then stood, her wings fluttering. She was still staring at the sky.
Cord, Rissen said in Vaden. Is she seeing Luxpren?
I think so, Cord said. They've begun to fly lower.
Rissen squinted and believed she could see them. Faint arrowhead figures shimmering in the air. Chiri Chiri chirped louder. Rissen found her heart beating faster, her breaths quickening. She'd begun to worry that this had somehow all been in vain, that there would be nothing here to help Chiri Chiri. The Larkin zipped into the air.
Storms! It had been forever since she'd flown so energetically.
The Luxpren began moving more quickly,
Rissen lost sight of them, and Cord gasped. Chiri-Chiri immediately tucked and dove straight down into the water. Rissen cried out, her excitement bleeding into panic. She twisted and leaned over the side, joined by Cord. Chiri-Chiri swiftly vanished into the shadows, moving beneath some rocks and out of sight.
"She followed the Spren," Cord whispered. "Something is happening. Something is odd."
She narrowed her eyes. The captain stepped to the rail.
"Did you know it could swim?"
Rissen shook her head, feeling an alarming spike of loss. What if Chiri-Chiri never came back? What if by bringing her here, Rissen had unwittingly offered her freedom and she'd taken it? Well, Rissen tried to be positive. That was better than Chiri-Chiri being sick. And if the creature wanted freedom, Rissen wouldn't confine her. At the same time, so much emotion was wrapped up in her experiences with the Larkin. Rissen's slow recovery from her accident, her year of melancholy, her near death at the hands of Voidbringers. Chiri-Chiri had been with her for all that, and, in that brief first moment wondering if she was alone, Rissen found a startling fragility to her feelings, a desire to cling to something she loved and never, never let go. Was that selfish? A trade or exchange couldn't be a good one unless both parties gained something from it. Yet not everything was about exchanges and trades. It was sometimes difficult for her to remember that.
"Rebsk?" the captain asked.
"I will wait here to see if she returns, Captain," Rissen said, trying to remain steady. "Please bring me word from the shore party as soon as they've inspected the beach."